Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. I love that idea. We were talking about this at the break, and if you want to find out what goes on during the breaks, hit us up at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320, because we just keep yapping through the breaks. I love the idea of a restaurant impossible or like bar rescue style show with NBA teams.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Just go in and like...
Who would be our first five episodes? We throw the Kings in there, obviously. We start episode one there.
the Wizards, for sure. The Wizards are just an abomination.
That's fine. Charlotte Hornets can be like the season finale.
Charlotte's got to be there. We also have to go with Utah. Because what in the world is Utah doing?
I don't know.
Utah's got a menu that's like... That's like Chinese, Mexican, American, Portuguese fusion. And it's just a terrible menu. It's a lot of like pre-cooked stuff that they just throw in an air fryer or in a fryer and call it cuisine.
I did one time. I went to an Italian restaurant in Italy and it was a TV dinner. I literally got like a chicken parmesan TV dinner. Like, I'm like, this is like, it's in the tray. Still, I'm like, what is that?
Where is this?
I was in Italy. I was in Siena, Italy, and we went to dinner, and it was like we got TV dinners.
What do they call them? The Hungry Mans or whatever? They gave James one of those.
And it was was expensive, and it was like,
don't
what?
Knock
the
Hungry Man, bro.
You've been a Hungry Man in your time or what?
You went to the Washington Wizards of Italian restaurants. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The one spot was like, yeah, here's a little kid's cuisine, James.
It's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. We do have some weird news via TMZ.
Okay, I have more food takes after this, but go on.
Well, you might not after I say what I'm about to say.
Great.
LaVar Ball has had his foot amputated after a health issue. It looks like not just foot. They had to go a little bit up the leg there. He underwent a recent procedure to have his right foot removed. But he's in great spirits. Just crazy.
Anyway.
Get better, LaVar Ball.
Salute, LaVar Ball.
Yeah.
You did it.
All
of his kids are super successful.
That's right. Awesome.
That's crazy.
It's incredible, man. He called it. Okay, back to food ticks. I went to... My brother is in the Air Force, or was in the Air Force. And was stationed in South Carolina for a while. And so we went to go visit him and my sister-in-law, my niece and nephew. And they took us to this Mexican restaurant. And this is a point in my life where I was at a much cleaner, like healthier lifestyle. And I ordered this vegetable stir fry thing. Looked really good. They bring out this bowl, almost exactly what you were saying, James, although it wasn't still in the tray or like the bag. It was really clear that what they did was they took one of those microwavable steamer bags of vegetables with it. And then you can get them. Some come with like a cheese sauce in them. And they literally like microwaved that and dumped it into a bowl and was like, here's your vegetable stir fry.
Sounds like fine dining to me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, a little bit different than the
I
Mexican
feel like we'd all be a little scared to go take a peek into the kitchen of our favorite restaurants.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to know nothing about what's going on.
Yeah. Just put the food on the plate, brother. Leave it here and we'll be good.
Yeah, I'm not who wants to watch the documentaries on, Taco Bell or McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm cool off with Super Size Me. I don't want to watch it. I'll take the Big Mac and I'll go home.
Yeah, maybe I won't have as many, but that's because it's too expensive now.
Exactly.
I can go to a regular restaurant and get a very nice burger for cheaper than I can go to McDonald's. I could ask that regular restaurant if they can bring McDonald's French fries.
And I'm usually DoorDashing that anyway. So it's like, I super don't need to know what's going on in the kitchen. I don't even want to know what's going on in my DoorDasher's car. Just like make sure the food is sealed and hot and I'm good.
DoorDash is tough. You gotta calculate, all right, well, if I'm going to order from here, then this is what the delivery fee is, blah, blah, blah. Because you end up paying like $50 for a burrito.
Buddy, the mental state I'm in when I order DoorDash, I could not care less about delivery fees. Your boy just needs that chicken quesadilla now.
I've told you guys this. One time I went to school, picked up my son from high school. We're driving through the lake and somebody like is in front of me. They get stuck in the lane that you have to go through where you check in with security. I go through the other gate and I go, and the car follows us all the way home. I'm like, boy, this car is like going the same place we are. I pull into the driveway. My son gets out of the car and there is his Mod Pizza waiting for him. He gets handed to him. Shout out to Braden, who is a crafty dude. He had DoorDashed himself a Mod Pizza that showed up exactly as we pulled into the driveway. The guy pulls up right behind us, gets out of the car, and hands my son his pizza.
Buddy's got it figured out. Like, yeah, don't worry about him, James. He's got it.
Is that our guy that doesn't wear shorts in gym class?
Yes, yes.
All right, well then, salute. Keep doing what you're doing, bro.
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah, he's a crafty. He's a crafty dude.
I might order myself a pizza like to be there waiting when I get home today now.
Yeah, absolutely spectacular. We've lost our way completely.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We haven't lost our way. We're guys having a conversation. Just guys being bros. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia is here. This is the Insiders. We're here 10 a.m. to noon every day on ESPN 1320. Appreciate y'all for tapping in. DeMarcus Cousins, who is no longer on the Sacramento Kings, in case you missed it, had a lot to say in a Q&A with Hoops Height about the De'Aaron Fox situation. And he got asked about it. He didn't just bring this up out of the blue. He got asked about the Kings.
Yeah.
And he said this. I'll get into the first part of this. But I think De'Aaron Fox is a very special talent. I think Sacramento is lucky and blessed enough to get that talent. I think he did some things there that a lot of people didn't think would be profitable, that team reaching the playoffs again. I think that makes him as a legendary Kings player, but I felt like once they reached that moment, I don't think they thought past that, and in time, it showed.
Yeah. DeMarcus Cousins has the Sacramento Kings figured out. I mean, like, look, that's exactly how I look at them.
I wanted to hate everything he was going to say. And then you read that and you're like, ah, dang.
Boy, that is like...
Exactly right.
Like, ting, ting, ting. Whack!
Yeah.
You just hit the nail right. You just absolutely hit it right on top of the head. Yeah, to me, like, I don't... Like, we can mix and match the discussion all we want. There are reasons why this happens, right? If you're a team that wins 46 games or 48 games, you look at yourself with an upward trajectory. Keeping it together, you think, okay, we're going to have organic growth from players like Keegan Murray. We're gonna have some other things we're doing that might improve the roster. But realistically, we were so good in year one that there's no way we can't get better in year two. We're on the upswing. Kevin Hurt's 24. De'Aaron Fox is 25. Malik Monk's 25. Domantas Sabonis is 27. All of these things. You have all of these things going for you, and then one after another, those things didn't like work out. Like in year two, Kevin Herter's not the same player that he was in year one. He goes from 15 points a game back down to 11 or whatever it was. Keegan Murray doesn't shoot 41% from three. He shoots 38% from three and isn't the same player. And so you're having all of these things that are happening. But at the same time, like your job as a general manager is to continuously look to maintain and improve. That's their words, not mine. Maintain and improve. And if you see somebody plateau, it's your job to either try to, you know, figure out a way to reach them and get them to not plateau and to have them get better, or to go out and find somebody else to push them, which they did, or to go out and find somebody else who's just flat out better.
Yep.
And sometimes that's what you have to do. And you can't just look at, one season as a success and think that that is going to dictate the next 3 to 5 years or 6 years of success. You have to continuously work to get better. And that's where I think that they missed the bus completely here, is that they stayed stagnant. And even when it was clear it wasn't working last year, it was clear it wasn't working midway through the season. that is when you should have gone out and made the moves that you needed to make to get the team better, when the value of the players that you had to move were still high, when you still had draft capital, all of these things. You had an opportunity and you didn't do it. And that's how you got to the point of where you are now. And it's, you know, it's like you can't just think that it's there is no promises of improvement in the NBA. You think there are, but there's just not. And you have to work at it, and you got to continuously try to get better. And the Kings failed at that aspect for way too long. And then by the time they did address the needs, they'd already fired a coach and it cost them their best player, and they had no draft capital.
Mm-hmm. I would love to go back in time to right after the 22-23 season and ask Monty McNair what he and Wes Wilcox, what they think made them successful that year.
Mm.
Because it felt like, and what I believed going through that season, and I talked about it on this radio station with D'Lo and KC, was I loved what they were doing because I thought Monty McNair had a vision. And it was this De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, kind of two-man game with just wings. And it was going to be like the Houston Rockets that nearly knocked off the Kevin Durant Warriors, right? The just going to be switchable defensively, and they're going to knock down threes, and it's going to be a ton of De'Aaron Fox, it's going to be a ton of Domantas Sabonis, and they're just going to cook that way. And then it was like they just abandoned that. It was such an odd thing over the next couple of years, and I think it turned into, oh shoot, this isn't work. Like at some point during last season, like, oh shoot, this isn't working anymore. We have to just do whatever we can to make the playoffs now. And taking any kind of risk, any kind of gamble was not on the table because you got to make the playoffs. You just have to make the playoffs. And I think that is where they went astray. They lost sight of just kind of the end goal and realized, oh shoot, we just need to make the playoffs every year. What do we have to do that?
Yeah. I think it's just an interesting way that Cousins said it. I don't think they thought past that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. It showed. Like they didn't really think past that first step. And you got there, but you know, we talk about it all the time. Anyone who has a 5-year plan in the NBA has no plan at all. That's a Jerry Reynolds-ism. But at the same time, if you have to have a plan for what's next, and you have to have a plan for how you get better each step of the way, and it can't be, again, to have every trade, every rumor in the NBA include your team and your players and think that, you know, like the mental stability of your players, you want to talk about ruining players. Having somebody be on the trade block for 2 years isn't a good feeling for anybody. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, players are saying, oh, well, you know, I feel like this team wanted me and I feel better. It's what Zach LaVine said when he got to Sacramento. It's like he said that because for the previous 3 years, he felt like the team he was on didn't want him and tried to shop him and tried to get rid of him. And that's a tough place to be as a human, not as a player. I mean, because what happens on the court is just part of you being human. And so for me, it's, you know, like this is a much bigger conversation than it is just like, hey, a coach did this and player didn't respond. It's like, okay, well, you got to respond. Yeah. As a player, that's what you have to do. It's your job to respond, and you got to make the best of whatever situation you're in and try to get better as a player and stuff.
Cousins continued, I think the standard was set low, which was just making the playoffs. And I think that city, those fans, I think they deserve a lot more. It's a passionate city. It's a passionate fan base. They stick it through thick and thin, pause, win or loss, good or bad. And that's rare to come across in sports. It's an up and down thing. But I know firsthand how much those fans care about their team. I think they achieved what they wanted to achieve, and they didn't really look past that.
Mm.
And I think that's the crux. Like, that's nail on the head again. Like, that's the crux of all of this, is they got there, and now it's just trying to cobble together a group that can get back there, and not a group that can grow into something greater than that.
No, I think so. Yeah, I it's tough. It's tough to build a sustainable winner in the NBA. But at the end of the day, that's their job. You know, it's their job is to continuously find ways to improve the roster, and doing minor tweaks is not the way. You know, You could see that the ceiling, that there was a ceiling for this team, and you did nothing to raise that ceiling.
Yep. All right, we're going to do NBA first half awards and superlatives. That's coming up next. Yeah, we've been teasing it the entire show, but we're actually going to do it for sure next. I promise.
I don't believe you, Kyle.
Jesse Tappy behind the glass. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And now the voice guy's going to say the same thing. I'm staying on topic. I'm not getting derailed. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia on the board. We're the Insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. We're going to take some calls on the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. And then we're going to talk about NBA first half awards and superlatives. That sound good?
We're going to hope that no one on the phone derails us.
Derailed, John Poles. Derailed. Goodness gracious. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a... Is TC still on the line?
Yes.
All right, let's get to TC. Wants to talk about Kevin Huerter. TC, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up with my bros? Hey, I'm Kyle, what's up?
What's up, TC?
Chilling.
Hey, man, just vibing. So I got a few points, right? So it wasn't all on Mike Brown, but Mike Brown had his faults, right? So, and that's all I'm going to say about Mike. I still respect Mike and all of, you know what I mean? Mike did what he did, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to get into that. As far as Kevin, you know you fell off, bro. I'm talking to you, Kevin. And I'm not even going to get rid of your jersey. I still got the Kevin Huerter Sacramento Kings City Edition, the purple and gray one. People are like, you going to get rid of it? No, I'm not getting rid of it. I don't get rid of nothing. I didn't get rid of the Lance jersey. I keep my jersey, Kyle. You hear me?
Shout out.
Mm.
Love that for you. Thanks, TC. Yeah, Kevin Huerter didn't do anything wrong to anybody. Just stop making shots.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel for Kevin because, like, this isn't something that he wants at all. Like, I mean, he should have another payday. He's extension eligible this summer. And, like, none of that is happening. Like, he's in a bad way and he needs to figure it out. It's tough.
Sorry. Did we have another call, Jesse, or just TC?
We got Frank.
Oh. All right, let's get to Frank. Frank, what's happening, man?
Hey, I'm calling about Mr. Fox. I know Mr. Hamm has this love fest for him and everything. Like, he's the greatest thing since bubblegum, but...
Where's the dump button?
The Kings were never going to pay De'Aaron Fox the Supermax. They didn't think he was worth it. And I understand Fox is okay, but he's just willing to be... just blend in as a team. Look, and he went to San Antonio. What's he doing over there? Same thing he was doing with the Kings, scoring 30 points. And they're losing.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, would you James like to comment loves on your, De'Aaron Fox.
You, I just, yeah, you're. I hate to tell you, Frank, but the Kings De'Aaron offered Fox him the fan. The Kings offered him max extensions in each of the last 2 years. They were going to pay him. They were going to pay him what he wanted, and they weren't willing to like commit. It's more complicated. It's more complicated than just that. But they were going to pay him. They offered him max money multiple times. So, I don't know.
Frank, call anytime, man. Just come in throwing fastballs. That was awesome.
He's a good player. he's better than any player they have on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Has he really not scored? No, he scored 30. He scored 30 since he's been to San Antonio against Washington.
Yeah, he said he scored 30, losing. Yeah. Same thing they did.
Yeah, here. They keep losing because their team isn't very good yet.
And they're also not incentivized to win at this point. They're not. And it does not feel like they're trying to win.
Chris Paul.
Yeah, they are still starting Chris Paul.
All right. First half awards and superlatives for the NBA.
Do we want to get to Manny first?
Wait, we got one more call, Kyle.
I
sent you the list,
you
Kyle.
Manny?
Yes.
He wrote it
did
on
you?
The paper.
I didn't look. Sorry, I was obsessed. I was obsessed with
respect the list, man.
The Apple summary text thing. I'm just obsessed with it. And so I just leaned on that. It says TC wants to talk Kings and Kevin Huerter taking calls out of the break is the summary. I didn't know there was a list.
Yeah, there was more text after that.
Well, that's because he used a summary feature.
I can't work with talent ever. You guys are always just divas, man. Manny, what's up?
You said it's Manny? No, get Manny out of here. I don't want to talk to Manny. I'm joking. Go ahead.
Well, first, Frank, I don't know what Bubblegum ever did to Frank. So Bubblegum is fine, Ham. Bubblegum is fine.
Facts, Manny. Really, facts.
Two things. One, my biggest worry for the second half of this season is that someone gets injured on the Kings and the team uses that as an excuse to, after the season, of having to still see what this team has and what they are when we already know what they are. We hope for the best, but there's still a lot of holes on this team that need to be addressed at some point. And I still don't know what this organization – I really don't know what this organization – their direction at all. But anyway, tonight, Callahan is one of the best editions of the Chatty House After Party. It's an all-women's edition. It's Jill Adge. It's Coach Molly. It's Simone joining the host Katrina. And this is for all the women out there. It's for all the women out there. Men, pay attention. So tonight, 8 p.m. on ESPN 1320.
Manny just fully got ejected. He got ejected. He got. They said, hey, Manny, like, kick rocks, bro. We're going to have all women's night. Sorry.
Yeah, I love that.
I do, too.
Anytime, anything that gets Manny out of the paint, I'm here for.
Yeah, I agree.
Chatty House After Party tonight on ESPN1320.com or YouTube.com/ESPN1320.
Yeah, yeah. What was he? Oh, like the direction? Yeah.
He said he's talking about how pulling up. If, I think Manny brought up how if the Kings deal with an injury or whatever, like they kind of, front office uses that as an excuse to kind of like, let's see what the roster is like next year or whatever.
Yeah, that would be difficult. Like, okay, so what happens if they don't have an injury and you just get through the year and they're not very good? I mean, like the injury thing, you're right. They could use that as an excuse. And even last season, I think a little bit, you know, the reason why they didn't win 48 games again, like in all reality, is probably because Malik Monk and Kevin Herter got hurt and missed the last two or three weeks of the season.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that this team is in all kinds of financial, like they, of all the years that they kept saying that, you know, we're going to be flexible and we're going to be ready to jump on the right deal. They wiped out all that flexibility. It's gone at this point. Mm-hmm. Tough. I don't mean
to keep pushing superlatives, but real quick, like realistically,
that's fine. We're just punting it to tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's
like
fine.
Realistically,
whatever.
What does it look like if this team does figure it out? Like we keep saying like, oh, they have the practices and maybe they can figure it out. Like, what does that look like? Like, is this team going to like shoot to the sixth seed or anything like that? Like, I don't know. I feel like, they'll probably just be in the play-in and hopefully be able to get to the playoffs by way of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's an outside shot that they make it to the sixth seed. I mean, like, in reality, it's, like reason mathematically possible. But I just don't know. Like, you look at their strength of schedule, and it's, like, one of the most difficult strength of schedules in the NBA. And when you get done with the first five games after the break, it becomes by far, I'm going to guarantee it's the most difficult schedule in the league from the last 22 games on. It's just going to be absolutely brutal. And
yeah,
so,
man. And that's where I saw somebody earlier in the chat. I might have actually started. Nope, never mind. Somebody was like, just beat the heck out of the Warriors or whatever they said and get back on track. My problem is, I don't think the Kings are good enough to just be like, oh yeah, they're just going to beat the heck out of somebody. Like, that's the issue for me. So that's why when you talk about the sixth seed, it's like right now, today, again, never say never in sports. That's always the mantra I lean on. But like,
and in
as
Goonies.
Of today on,
just saying.
You said what?
And in Goonies. Yeah.
Totally. but on February 19th, like, no, this is not a team that's going to the playoffs. At least not being a top six team. Maybe they're playing well enough by the end of the year that they win a couple of play-in games or win a play-in game and make it that way. Sure. Like, that's on the table. But I think right now for me, like, that would be the expectation. And if we get to March and they're a half game out of the sixth seed, like, okay, cool. Let's talk about it. But I'm not ready to put my eggs in this basket until I physically see them on the court playing better basketball. Because right now they look like about a 500 team. And if you're about a 500 team, you're going to be like an 8, 9, or 10 seed.
Well, yep. Looking at it too, like the Clippers are 8 games above 500 right now, the 6 seed, the Lakers are 12 games above. So are we expecting the Kings to make a run where they match that? Or are we expecting those teams to fall back to the Kings? Like, if you're expecting them to kind of make a step up, I guess.
You'd hope it'd be some combination of both, like the whole 3-point shooting. Like, you need to not give up as many and you need to start hitting more and close the gap some way. But still, like, that's the problem at hand.
I just don't see it.
They're 28 and 27. if they go 20-7 over their they're at 48 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe that gets you the six. Maybe. But I'm not like that's you have to kick a ton of rear end just to get into like the conversation. So and then you'd need the other thing, you'd need the Clippers to fall off some, and you'd need the Lakers to fall off some.
Yeah.
And maybe they do. But until I see the injury or the 8-game losing streak or whatever for one of those teams that takes them out of the running, I'm not putting the Kings there. They just don't belong in that conversation.
No, and I know this sounds really ridiculously stupid, but that one game that you lost that would have had you at 3 games over 500, it would look so much structurally better. It would put you like within striking distance of some of these teams where, again, making up those extra games is nearly impossible in a 27-game stretch. No, it's not totally impossible. There is always the chance that they come out swinging like they did in the 22-23 season and
and
just climb, but I'm not gonna bank money on that at all.
Yeah, I'm banking money that over these next 27 they're gonna go something like 15-12, maybe 14-13. They're gonna be kind of in that range, and they're gonna be right at or a little bit above or a little bit below 500.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
And then you throw an injury into it. I think they're so well insulated. Like if Domas goes down and you have Valanciunas starting, like, okay, you feel okay, but he's not Domas.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not going to be over 38 minutes a night every single night. He's not going to be a 20-30 threat every time he steps on the court, right? But like Zach LaVine misses time, like, okay, you feel good about Malik Monk and DeMar DeRozan picking up the slack or Keon Ellis. If Malik or DeMar goes down, you feel good about, you know, okay, Keon Ellis is there and there's two other guys who can pick up the scoring. So like I think from a depth standpoint, they're good there. But like, man, if you lose Keegan right now, we're already worried that they can't get stops. You remove Keegan from the equation?
I mean, then Jake LaRavia, 35 minutes a game, I'm here for it.
Sure, man. $10 million a year player? Jake LaRavia?
That would be the biggest nightmare if he jacked up his price because he had someone get hurt.
Yeah, poor Keegan gets hurt, but Jake LaRavia steps in and is just this insane player for the Kings. Now we can't afford to bring him back.
And just so you know, that's not who they would start because we've seen this play out before. And they started one of the Holiday brothers. Find a way to start Isaac Jones the rest of the way, and Jake LaRavia would just be very disappointed in what's happened here.
Honestly, man, like
Jake LaRavia, Golden State Warrior next season.
That's right.
Obviously, you can't.
He'll build his value there.
Obviously, you can't. You obviously can't do this. He's going to learn a lot from Jimmy Butler. You obviously can't do this because you just have too much talent. In a vacuum. But the idea of starting Isaac Jones every night, I don't hate that. But again, you can't because Isaac Jones is not ready to be a contributor on a winning team. And if you go 500 the rest of the way, if you go, I'm so bad at this.
This exact thing.
And 14-13. If you go 14-13 the rest of the way, like you're in the play-in.
Mm.
Like you're all set.
Okay.
And if you're starting Isaac Jones, you're probably not doing that.
You don't think there's a possibility the Suns win more games than they lose in the second half and the Warriors? Yeah, you're not safe. You're not safe. There's a distinct possibility this team finishes the 11th seed, whether they're trying to or not.
Damian brought up the Suns on D'Lo and KC yesterday, too. I don't see it with them. Just the whole trade situation, like KD knows you try to trade him. That's not good for business or a locker room, I feel.
But you see it with the Kings?
Not with the Kings, but I do see them just going 500 the rest of the way and just kind of staying what they are.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just it. And maybe, maybe the Kings come out and lose a bunch of games here and the Suns win a couple. But the Suns are in the exact same conversation to me as the Kings. And, like, why would I believe that they're going to go on a run? Like, they have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. Like, wow, that's awesome. But the vibes there are so bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't believe in them. But it's definitely a possibility, like, it is a way bigger possibility the Kings are the 11th seed than the 6.
Mm-hmm.
substantially larger possibility.
Yeah. And Kevin Durant did come out and address a lot of that. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Kevin Durant said, like, look, it wasn't that he didn't want to go to the Warriors, that he hated Draymond Green or anything else. He didn't want to be traded midseason, and that was it. Yeah.
Basically, like, said he didn't want to move.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame him.
I honestly feel that. If I was a professional athlete, that'd be the worst part. And when you're a pro athlete, you can pay people to do all the hard moving stuff. But moving sucks, man.
Well, you do that, and then you're Kevin Durant, so you're just media circus the rest of the season while you're just trying to get acclimated again and all that.
Yeah, it's not easy.
This is so funny. What did I just see in the chat? Said, I'm a Warriors fan, and I don't have faith in them making the play-in. I feel like Warriors fans, Kings fans, and Suns fans are all in that boat.
We all stink.
Like, everybody's just waiting for that, like, 10-game losing streak that drops them out of the conversation entirely.
And you don't think Maverick fan is feeling the same way?
I don't know.
Maverick
fan
is barely a Maverick fan right now.
That's true.
Maverick fan is planning another mock funeral for the Luka era. So.
Okay, we have 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Your defensive player of the year. What do you got?
No. We'll punt this. Wemby.
Looking at the top 10 right now, I feel pretty comfortable. Like, that's what's going to be. I don't see the Suns really making a move, and the Spurs aren't good enough.
It's not really making a move. They're
well, even to go two games, like, they've just...
They're a game and a half behind the Kings.
They are, but it's like, I don't know. They've been this all season. I don't think they're going to be able to... Like, it'll just be them the rest of the way, I think. Like, I don't think...
That's it.
Yeah, and I think the Kings are... I don't know if good enough is the right word, but that roster, like, you'll stay... I just don't see the Suns catching them.
I believe that the final 27, 25, whatever games of the season... It's where the real teams show up. It's where the teams that have been there before show up, and they just work their way right into whatever position they need to be in the standings. And I don't believe that the Kings are that team right now, but I'm not convinced that Minnesota's that, or Dallas, or Golden State, or Phoenix. Phoenix and Golden State are the two teams that you look at and go, okay, they have a bunch of guys who have been there before, and maybe they can get you right back to it, but I don't know. I did not expect...
The Suns are 2-7.
In their last nine?
The Suns are 2-7 in their last nine.
Yeah, that's tough.
With wins over an overtime win against the Jazz, and they beat the hell out of the Warriors.
Mm.
Those are their two wins in their last nine games.
You made some
They've lost to the Blazers twice.
And we're just kind of headed towards, like, a Kevin Durant being traded in the offseason, it feels, too. Like, I just don't think that's sustainable for vibes this season.
Oh, they're a mess, man.
Yeah, they feel cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're in the boat to me, and maybe Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are just so great that they just overcome all this. But they're in the boat now that the Kings would have been had they not traded De'Aaron Fox.
Exactly.
Where you're playing out the string, mm-hmm. You just know, like, okay, we're gonna play these games, but this guy's gone. This guy's got 1.5 feet out the door, and that's a really, really difficult position to be in when you're playing in high leverage, high intensity games.
I always like, because I've covered so many years of bad basketball where the season was over like a month and a half before this, right? So I'm always intrigued when you get to this point in the season. Again, the Kings are basically a 500 team at 28 and 27. Like, who are they? Who shows up after the break? Do they crumble, or do they find some way to, you know, just take off? And am I going to watch again Isaac Jones and... all of the Joneses and Isaiah Crawford and all that in the final five games of the season? Or are we going to watch a team that has an opportunity? And I don't know. I don't know how this one is going to finish. And I think a lot of us can, like, predict, make, like, educated guesses. But on this one, I don't know. Like, if you don't play defense, you have a really tough time. But maybe they... turn up the intensity like they did after the break last year and they find a way. I'm not convinced that anyone really knows the outcome of this season.
No. The Suns schedule sucks. I know that flying to Texas for them isn't as dramatic as it is for like Sacramento, but they were at Houston and then the break hit and then they have to go back to San Antonio to continue a 5-game road trip.
Oh. All right.
At San Antonio, at Chicago, at Toronto on a back-to-back, and then at Memphis. Tough. All right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The handoff with Damian Barling coming up next. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia on the ones and twos. Damian Barling going to join us here for the handoff shortly. Yeah, I mentioned this at the end of the last segment. We were talking about the Suns and whether they can catch the Kings, or not whether, like, they obviously can, but if they're just kind of cooked, right? They open the second half at San Antonio on Thursday. Then they're at Chicago on Saturday. Then they're at Toronto on Sunday, and then at Memphis on Tuesday. Then they get New Orleans twice before Minnesota, Clippers, Nuggets, Mavs, Grizzlies, Rockets.
So they pretty much they've
got a tough stretch too.
Yeah, but that first five games is kind of like the Kings' first five games. Like, you can get some wins there.
Sure.
You know, like, Toronto's not very good. Chicago's not very good. They both were part of big trades. Like, you've got some, you could build, but then once you get past those five games, like, I don't even, like, their strength of schedule jumps probably to like 560.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not, it's not good.
I don't know, man. They have, the Suns down the stretch have a brutal schedule too.
I mean, if we're being fair,
they
like,
the Lakers in here, Cavs, Bucks, Celtics.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, once you get past the first five games of the Suns post All-Star schedule, it's going to get even worse, because what you just said wasn't that difficult.
They're talking about the Kings.
Yeah, like the Spurs, the Bulls, the Raptors, and then the Pelicans twice. That's not that all that difficult at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of your first six games coming out of the break. What their schedule looks like after that is not good at all for them.
Well, that's the thing. We can't even count on these teams to like win the so-called easier matchups, I guess, because, sorry to go back to the Pelicans game, but like with Zion out, it's like, oh yeah, you're going to beat them by double digits, and like you couldn't even handle that business. So I guess that kind of goes for the Suns and Kings. We don't even know what they're going to look like going forward.
You might be right. The Suns might not have any shot at all to make it to the play-in, like at all.
Well, and the Kings get them two more times.
Yeah.
And so if you can win both of those games, they've already secured the season series, but you if you win both, you're securing the season series and you're separating yourselves two games from that. Like, those are going to be so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one's the last game of the year, and it's in Sacramento. So yeah, man, I don't, and maybe, and again, while we're talking hypotheticals, like maybe the Spurs make a jump. Like maybe they decide to start Stephon Castle and
like go for it.
Everything. Yeah. And maybe that works out. I just don't know that they're talented enough yet. And I think they're still kind of in a spot where they're figuring out exactly who they're going to run with moving forward, and who's going to be part of their long-term build and who's not. And I think they would be fine with Atlanta's pick and then their pick and being good with it in 2025.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at, like, if you look at Phoenix's strength of schedule, their easiest opponents left. They've got two games against the Pelicans, two against Toronto. They've got two against the Bulls and two against the Spurs. Most teams have six teams listed as their easiest opponents. The Suns only have four, because the rest of their opponents are much better, right? The Kings have like seven games. They have one against the Spurs, one against the Blazers, one against the Bulls, two against the Hornets, one against the Jazz, and one against the Wizards. That's seven, like, what you would consider just like pretty easy winnable games. Although I'd say the Spurs one is not very easy, and the Blazers are playing better and have beat up on the Kings here and there.
That Spurs one is going to be fascinating.
Oh yeah,
as De'Aaron Fox has returned to Golden One, and maybe the Spurs win a couple to open the second half, and it means something for the standings. But no, you're right. That's, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
You got Washington and Charlotte. Those are both road games, though. They haven't been awesome on the road, man. And that's the thing. Like, it's all, this is, and this is why, as we talk about all this, this is why it's super difficult for me to look at where the Kings are in the standings and go, oh hey, let's talk six seed. Like, no, man. I if they win their first eight out of the break, cool. Let's talk six seed.
Mm-hmm.
But I need them to win one game first.
Yeah.
Can you beat the Warriors on Friday?
Yep.
And then can you pack up and beat Charlotte a couple nights later?
Yeah.
Like, that's it's game at a time for me right now, man.
Yeah, I believe we're going to have to, it will be a game at a time. And even like if they had won four in a row here going into, I think we all would have felt much better about what their chances are going forward. I want to pull up Mark Souza in the chat says, the Spurs are only 3.5 out and have the Hawks pick. They don't have much incentive to not try to make the play-in. They're going to make it or be right there. Mark, if you can have two shots at Cooper Flagg instead of one shot at Cooper Flagg, you're going to go for two shots at Cooper Flagg, not one shot. Just saying.
I'm also interested to see how the Spurs look after they get some practice time with De'Aaron Fox. Like, practice time, huge during the All-Star break.
It could change everything, no, Kyle.
it's like we talked about Kevin O'Condor's tweet the other day about how the Spurs are doing like a quiet tank because they keep starting Chris Paul, who's just not super effective anymore, and they're bringing Stephon Castle off the bench. Maybe that's something they keep doing because they're trying to get everybody to learn from Chris Paul. And but it wouldn't shock me at all if after the break, that's a conversation they have with CP3 where he's going to come off the bench. It's something he did last year in Golden State. It's something he's done before. And if the Spurs are going to make a run for it and really go for it, that's the move.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they do that, but maybe they want as many high picks as humanly possible because they think that they don't have enough talent with Wemby and Fox and Castle.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't think Julian Shimpenny or Jeremy Sochan are part of their future.
Yeah, but you don't want to burn the possibility. Like, and even if you don't get the top pick, what if you have the fourth pick and you have the eighth pick? What are those worth on the open market? How can you go get the third or fourth player, especially since you didn't lose a bunch of your tradable contracts in the De'Aaron Fox trade? So, like, I think you're still in a position where you can go and strike. And if some big star does become available, you can go get that big star with a couple of top 10 picks and say, okay, let's go for it and try to improve way quicker.
I see a couple of people in here saying, didn't Cooper Flagg say he's staying at Duke? Well, he's talked about it. It's not confirmed that he's going to do that. And we discussed this a little bit earlier in the show. It would be stunning if Cooper Flagg stayed for a second season at Duke.
Yeah, I think we're going to be on like Flagg watch.
I would be floored.
Yeah. Like, did he move out of his dorm room, Kyle? I think he moved out of his dorm room.
Yeah. I would be stunned. You have a chance to be the because you said it, dude. You have a chance to be the number one, or you're going to be the number one pick.
Yeah, you're the
you're
number
going
one
to
pick.
Be that dude.
Yep.
You're going to be that guy. You go back to Duke, you're not going to be more than number one pick. You can only harm your draft stock at that point.
Yeah, you take a bad step and pop your Achilles. Like, there's the next year's draft has a bunch of really, it's a very, very good draft as well. The Boozer brothers are in that draft. One of which is considered like a top three pick. The other one's like a top 15, 20 pick. Like there's a ton of talent in that next draft as well. And you're not going to risk, you know, what that means for your future. Like it, and you get to your second and third contracts way faster. That's why getting into the league as a younger player, always makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, he can say that all he wants about how, oh no, I'm going to stay in school or I want to stay in school. That would send a shockwave through the basketball world that we haven't seen in a long time from a
since
draft perspective.
Luka got traded.
that's why I said from a draft perspective. Can you recall anything like that?
Where
a player who is just like going to be like that is the number one overall pick not going?
No, not a number one, a top 10 for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not a number one overall. And people who are asking who the Boozer brothers are, like literally the Boozer brothers are Carlos Boozer's sons. He has twins.
And they're both really, really good at basketball.
Yeah. Cameron Boozer, who's going to Duke, who's a 6'9" power forward, is going to be very good. There's other players that are going to be like that are highly thought of, you know, like the kid who's going to BYU. I don't know how to Debansa. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't
believe you.
I haven't been studying the draft yet. So Yeah, there are some players, and you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you could be one of multiple. And we don't bring up Lynn Bias because Lynn Bias was drafted with the third overall pick in the 19.
And if that's a joke, that sucks.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, it's never going to be not too soon for that. So
yeah, no doubt. Rob Manfred had something interesting to say about baseball in Sacramento. He said, quote, "I think their desire to have Major League Baseball in the short term and in the long term is really impressive." Rob Manfred can go to hell.
I'm walking in with no times left on your show to apologize. I'm sorry.
Oh,
no, I got pulled. Okay, man.
I got pulled into a meeting that I just could not walk out of. So I am very sorry about that.
It's okay. But
Rob Manfred can go to hell. I don't know what we're talking about, but he can absolutely go straight to hell.
What are we drinking there?
This is a nectar. Ah, I forgot what it was called. Power shake. I don't know. It's got like dates and cashew milk and peanut butter, and it's delightful and it's filling, and I needed something filling. So,
all right.
Love that for you.
It's good.
Yeah, man. How's your day going?
It's good. It's interesting. I live an interesting life, man. I used to think my life was boring. It turns out it's quite interesting. But yeah, it's good. Everybody's good. We vibing, and sometimes people just like talking to me, and I'm here to talk to people.
If you get to stand on the floor at a Beyonce concert, you do not live a boring life, sir.
Well, I thought I lived a boring life. I mean, my life is cool. Like, I can't front. but, yeah, just every once in a while, something happens where I'm like, you know, I'm surprised that this just happened. That's cool. It's vibes. It's all right. Vibes. I live by the Kyle Madsen life of, you know, just go with the vibes. If you got to make a hand sculpture over the weekend, make a hand sculpture and send pictures to Kyle so he can see it. I didn't know that any of this happened until today. It was like, oh, I got to tell you Kyle's response to this. It's like, oh, Kyle. Oh, great.
I nailed it, though.
No, you did. You killed it. No, you killed it. It's great. Life is awesome.
It sure is. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and Casey?
I'm going to be honest, man. I don't freaking know.
Hell yeah. Those are my favorite.
We're literally just waiting till Friday to get here. Trista's going to be with us. James will be back at 3. There was a very entertaining thread about what if the like an AI generated if the Kings had drafted Luka. It's so amazing because it's super in-depth. But I noticed one thing at the very end of it that I just couldn't get over, and I can't wait to share.
Have you watched the Court of Gold documentary yet?
I did not. Okay. Last night ran.
We can talk about it later.
Last night ran a little long, but I will absolutely watch it tonight.
Okay.
Awesome. You know.
Nope. I'll watch it tomorrow. I changed my mind. No. I'll watch it tomorrow.
Not going to use the transition I was just going to use. I'm just going to tell you about Underdog Daily Fantasy. From fast breaks to buzzer beaters to block parties, there's nothing as exciting as basketball. With Underdog, you can bring that excitement wherever you watch. Playing on their app is as easy as choosing higher or lower on player stats like threes made, points, rebounds, and more. Get those picks right, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money. Millions of fans have won over billions on Underdog. Will you be next? Join in on the fun by signing up for Underdog today and using promo code KYLEM, and you'll get a free pick as part of your first cash entry, plus up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you deposit. Must be 18 plus. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.mpcgambling.org. See, the thing that sucks about that is earlier I was bragging about how I'm really getting this down.
Yeah.
And turns out I am not. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. D'Lo and KC coming up next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Salute to Jesse Tapia for helping us out today. We're the Insiders back at 10 a.m. tomorrow right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water, be nice to people. Bye!